This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able,
darkness, it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's.
If there's anybody here faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of in the storm, hope for tomorrow. You see Him time and time again. Just say,
this morning, and I'm just so glad to see each and every one of you. Whether you're here live or watching on our feed, we just love you. We miss the ones that aren't able to be with us this morning. We're looking forward to you being able to join us again. And for those that are tuning in, whether now or at a later date, welcome. We just love the Lord here. We're just going to praise and worship Him. We're going to go right into prayer this morning. We're going to do that song again, give them a heads up that they were doing coming in. There's nothing any better. You know, the storms that seem to be stirring, that, you know, you see the weather, you see all the forecast. Forget all that stuff. God's already got it.
Amen.
Jesus was the answer.
Amen.
There's no other thing can be done. Nothing else can we do. We need the saints of the Lord, not only through His Word to be preached, but we need the saints that's gone through the storms and gone through the battles.
Come on.
To speak the truth and let others know
on,
that it is under control and God's got it in hand. We are not alone in this battle. We got to carry that banner high and go straight through.
Come on,
just
amen.
Like we were studying this morning in Joshua. They had lost the battle, Dai, because there was sin in the courts. There was sin in the house. But as you go into the next chapter, God says, have no fear.
Come on.
You got rid of that sin. We need to testify about what God's doing, and it comes from repentance and turning our life over to the Lord.
Amen.
And having faith in Him that no matter what, we can stand on that solid ground, on that
yes,
rock,
hallelujah.
And that's Jesus Christ. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you can stand, if you can, we're going to stand in respect to the Lord this morning in our prayer. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Y'all, God
hallelujah.
Is great.
Hallelujah.
And I believe in healing, I believe in His protection, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this is just a journey we're on for eternity. And if we place it all into God's hands and let Jesus Christ be our Lord and Savior, we have it made.
Amen.
No matter what. That wind's going to blow. You may have to put on a sweater sometimes or a raincoat, but God's got it under control, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our most precious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your many, many blessings, dear Lord, for all that You've done. Dear Lord, we're nothing without You. Lord, we just want to lift You up and honor You. Dear Lord, You've always had us in Your arms, dear Lord. You've always loved us, dear Lord, even before we were, dear Lord, You were. And, dear Lord, from the great beginning, You've prepared this place that we're in right this minute. Lord, for everyone here in the presence of this congregation or watching this feed, dear Lord, this is Your day. This is Your time, dear Lord. And as Your Word is read and Your message is brought forth this morning, dear Lord, we ask the truth as it goes forward, that it'll prick our hearts, dear Lord. It'll strengthen us. It'll guide us. It'll direct us in everything that we go. Dear Lord, for all the fears, all the sicknesses, Lord, all the troubles that there, whether it be financial loss or maybe needing just a roof over our head, dear Lord, or food on our table. Lord, we know that You've got it. Lord, we know through faith, dear Lord, we may not see that abundance in the barrel, but we know the meal barrel never runs out with You, Lord. Lord, You've got us in Your hands. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory. You see the hands that were raised. And those on whether now or putting in the comments on the live feed, whatever the situation is, Lord, we ask now that You'll just touch each and every one. Dear Lord, heal us. Make us whole again, dear Lord. Lord, strengthen and guide us. And, dear Lord, may we stand faithful to You and have a testimony on our lips of how great Thou art. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Now, they were doing that song beautifully. Just praise the Lord this morning. But I'm going to ask y'all to sing with the praise team and the choir as they do that song again this morning. Just worship with them. Praise God.
This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen.
the darkness it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire,
so blessed.
Praise
the Lord. You may be seated if you can, but I'm just going to just ask anybody in here. The song is beautiful, but it's not for entertainment. It's to praise. It's to lift God up. And it's also for us to honor Him, but also through testimony. Is there anybody been brought through something? Is there anyone in here that can say amen this morning? I want to hear you. Amen. Blew me in that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I want to hear it, Miss Connie.
Kitty went to the doctor this week, and we've got a call tomorrow for the clinic for him to be fitted for prosthetics.
Oh, praise God. Amen.
It's going to be a challenge, but that's what
they
do. And when God's in the middle,
it's
right.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm ready to see him come in. Praise God. I know you know, and Brother Terry knows, that y'all aren't on this journey by yourself, that God is with you all the way through. But I want you to know that we as a church are on that journey and just praying and excited. We want to see it. We want to know it because God is. And He has got it under His control in His hands. Praise God. Just love y'all so much. All the other testimonies of praise. And same way with prayer reports. Praise requests that come forward. As they come in and as we pray with faith. And that God is. And that He's able to take care of each and every situation.
Amen.
You know, it's by those stripes that Jesus took that we are healed.
Amen.
And we bring Him to Him with that faith that who He is and that He will do it. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering and get back right back into worship. Just want to thank each and every one of you for supporting our ministries. Don't forget our food closet. As y'all know, that there was a season short while ago that we had to replace, had a water damage, and things had to be thrown away and discarded, and we need to get it restored and all the other ministries that go forward. So if you'd like to give something for the food closet, please, on the dry goods, bring your donation or a monetary gift to help with the perishables. There are those that are in need, and that's what we have to do, is step up and be that vessel that God can use. And all the other ministries, just keep them in your prayer. Good to see each and every one of you this morning again. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Trials, weakness blurs my visions. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. Oh, then I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all my victories. The Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be in the valley of decision. cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come.
Hallelujah.
So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. My Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. And he will take you through the fire again.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Going through so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way. Heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. So if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head, God's on your side.
Thank you.
you say amen? How many in the house is thankful? Jesus rescued you. Nobody else could do it. Nothing else could do it. All the fame, the fortune, the wealth of the world could not do it. It took Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus came and rescued us? Man, from that miry pit of sin. My. If you love the Lord with all of your heart this morning, let Him know it with a hand clap of praise. My. God is so good. And it's really good to see each and every one of you this morning. We appreciate you coming to worship with us this morning. And we just pray that the anointing of God will rest upon this congregation, that He will fill the desires of our hearts, and He will meet the needs. Amen. How many knows that He is able to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory? And they're beyond our ability to even comprehend or number the great riches that the Lord has in store for us. Well, praise God. Do we have any saved folks in the house today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. How wonderful that is. If you have your Bibles, we just want to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. We will be reading from the book of St. Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Certainly appreciate you standing for the reading of God's Word this morning. As you're standing, let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 19th chapter, beginning with verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your anointing, your spirit, God, and your healing power. Thankful for those who have gathered here today, this morning, God, and I pray that you would open up the window of heaven, pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this group of people today. Father, I humbly ask this morning that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, speak through this vessel, God, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice in this congregation who's not made that commitment, who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that this be that day. This be the day that Jesus comes into their house. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turn and wave to your neighbor, and you may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This morning, if I had a message title, it would be in the form of a question. And I ask this sincerely, because the Lord has dealt with me this week concerning this particular matter. And I pray that the church, after this scripture reading, and after this message that I hope that the Lord will deliver through us this morning, that we will again catch hold of the mission of Jesus Christ. Certainly He was bruised for our iniquities. With His stripes we are healed. But He did come to seek and to save that which was lost. This morning, the lesson or the message title would be, Has the Church Forgotten the Sinner? Have we as the church, forgotten the sinner. I say that in all sincerity because I know that the Lord is the supplier of our needs. And I think the congregation would agree with me, lately our needs have been many. We've had a lot of situations where we have had to call upon the name and on the power of God. If nothing else, just to get us through the day. Just to get us through the turmoil, the turbulence that is in the world today. To make a way, as the Bible says, when there seemeth no way. I know many times we think, Lord, there's just no way that we're going to get through this. But I want us to understand that with God, all things are possible. And the Lord has been so gracious and so loving that He has tenderly cared for us even through our troubles and trials and our manifold temptations that we face on a daily basis. Can I get a testimony? Has God seen you through? I know it's been rough. I know it's been hard. I know it's been uneasy situations. But we're here today by the grace of God. God will, in fact, keep His anointed through the fire. Amen. He will not allow anything to defeat us because we are on the winning side of the One who came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary to take away our sins and make a home for us eternal in the heavens. So why should we worry? But we find that we're not the only ones who have tried to, if nothing else, capture the time and affection and the attention of our Lord and Savior. I hope that there's not a day that goes by that you as a Christian do not communicate with the Lord. I hope that you take advantage of that wonderful accessibility that was only made possible when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, and you remember what happened in the temple. There was a veil. There was a partition. There was a go-between. You and I could not go and enter into the holiest of holies. I don't know where I would be today if I could not enter into the holiest of holies. The holiest of holies is no longer a veil that separates the congregation from the priest in the temple. That veil was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that no man could do what Jesus did. But when He gave up the ghost, that veil was torn, amen, signifying, giving you and me accessibility to come boldly before the throne of grace. Because of whatever situation we have, we can come to Jesus and always find Him attentive and there for us. And that's what a blessing that is. But I begin to think this week, maybe we have, if nothing else, consumed a lot of the attention of our Lord on our personal needs. I'm not telling you not to call on Jesus. I'm not telling you not to call on Him for healing, because He says, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith. They'll be healed and they'll be delivered. We need to take advantage of that. But in our busyness and our needs of each and every day, I ask this question humbly and seriously from my heart as a pastor. Have our prayers been so consumed with our personal needs and our personal desires and our ability for protection of our family? And I'm not discounting the fact that we need to do that. But in all of our prayers for ourselves, have we consumed that with only our personal needs? And have we forgotten that there's still the lost and dying in this world? There's still sinners today, amen, that need someone to point them to Jesus Christ. There's still someone out there today that needs a helping hand, somebody to reach them and tell them that Jesus loves you. The world may have chewed you up and spit you out. You may think you have nothing to look forward to, but Jesus died for you as well. Man. And I'm reminded we're not the only ones that have ever tried to consume the time and the attention and the passion of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, they all murmured, saying, he is gone to be the guest at the house of a sinner. If we look back a few scriptures, we'll find that Jesus was accompanied by his 12. It merely says the 12 were with him. Any Bible reader knows who those 12 individuals were. They were the 12 disciples that were with Jesus constantly on a daily basis. They had witnessed his miracles. In fact, there had just been a mighty miracle performed immediately before he went into the streets of Jericho. How many remember upon entering the streets of Jericho, on the wayside, there was a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus touched him, and his eyes were open, and he was healed that very same instant. How many knows that God is still a healer? How many believe that with all of our heart? He will heal our body. He will touch our soul. Why do we ever doubt his ability to take care of us? Man. And then the Bible goes into this particular story. There was a crowd of folks pressing Jesus, as so often the case was. Those who wanted to receive of him, those who wanted to touch him, those that wanted to hear those words of comfort, because they knew that there was something special about this man called Christ. Many of them were believers and believed that he was in fact the Son of God, the Messiah that was to come and fulfill the prophets of old, signifying that Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross of Calvary for our sins and would be resurrected the third day. But many were just there for the benefits. Many were just there because they had an illness, an affliction, a disease, a relative or something, and they needed the touch of Jesus. And as Jesus walked through the streets, there was a soul that needed Jesus. I don't know personally what you're going through. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I don't know what kind of situations are going on in your life. But I would venture to say that out of this small crowd this morning, there's someone who desperately needs the attention of Jesus Christ. Because other things have failed. Other avenues have not benefited them. They've tried to do better. They've tried to make something out of their life. But somehow, things seem just to fall apart around their life. There's an emptiness there. There's an emptiness that no substance can fulfill. There's an an emptiness that no relationship other than Jesus Christ can fulfill. There is an emptiness in there that no amount of joy or things of the world that we desire to do can ever fill the hole and the need that is in that life of that person who has not asked Jesus Christ to come into their house, their spiritual house, this house. And there was a soul among this crowd. You see, Jesus, being the Son of God, omnipotent in power, omniscience in knowing all that there is to know, looks past what our outward appearance may be. Looks past what the smile that we try to paint on our face and say everything is good. And he saw this one soul, and I believe ever before Zacchaeus saw Jesus. I don't know. But if anybody in the house has had a personal relationship with Jesus, I would venture to say he saw you before you saw him. He saw the need in your life. He saw the lostness. He saw the destitute. He saw the hunger.
hunger. He saw the desire ever before you saw Him. But when you saw Him, whatever it was, whether it was through a sermon, a song, a witness, a testimony, but one day you met Jesus and you found out that He was the one that could come into your life and change all things. All things have become new. All things have passed away. Aren't you thankful for the day that Jesus came into your house? But again, I believe He saw Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus ever saw Him. The Bible tells us he ran to try to see Jesus, but he could not. You know, the Lord pricks our hearts sometimes. The Lord touched me. And the Lord can be very, very frank. Amen? One reason He realizes it's not time to play. If you're not a Bible reader, you need to read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you'll understand what's going on in the world. And you'll also understand, amen, we're going to be delivered from it. Well, glory! Amen! Jesus kind of impressed in my heart and in my mind, in my spiritual mind this week as I was reading that story. Is there a lost soul that can't see Jesus because the church is consuming his time? Are we standing in the way of sinners? Because we need the Lord to heal our nerves. We need the Lord to make us feel better. We need the Lord to hold our hand. And He will do all of those things. But remember one thing. You're saved. You're born again. You got a Savior. There's some people lost today that don't have that benefit. That don't have that relationship. That don't have Jesus in their life. Church, we need to be concerned about the sinner. Has the church forgotten the sinner? Has the church forgotten how it is to have sleepless nights? To go through the motions of a life when that life is unfulfilled? And I would go ahead and say, no matter what you gain in this world, no matter how popular you are, or how much worldly material you may gain, it'll never, ever take the place of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So when I go to sleep at night, I'm not putting my faith and trust in what little material things that I have on this earth. But I do close my eyes in sleep, and I put my faith in knowing that if I do not see another dawning of the day, if I never ever see another moment, I know that Jesus Christ is alive and well in my soul. I know He's Lord. I know He's Savior. I know my destination. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm leaving behind. Hallelujah. And that makes me shout. That makes me thank the Lord that He saved me. Came into my house when He could have went to any other of the saints' house. But that night I needed Jesus. They all murmured. I believe the Bible is very explicit when it puts words. You remember there were 12 that were with Jesus. Bible doesn't say they all murmured except the disciples. It said they all murmured. Maybe Peter and John said, what's he mean? He's got all of these other houses that he could go to. He's got devout followers. He's got people that have been sold out to him for years. This may not go real good. He got tithe payers he could go home with. He got board members. He got church members. He got singers. He's got preachers. Have we forgotten where we were
Have we forgotten how low we were? Have we forgotten about the saints who prayed for us even when we didn't even want prayer? Leave me alone. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be about God's business. I got too much to live for, only to realize that you can die and lose everything and eternity too. If Jesus doesn't come to your house. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. He saw the need. I think he saw the repentant nature. You'll never get anywhere with the Lord until you learn to repent. It's more than lip service. Amen. It's godly sorrow for the life that you've lived. I believe that somehow Zacchaeus said, if I can just see Jesus. Give me a few people that say, if I can just see Jesus, we'll quit wondering where revival is. We'll quit wondering why the church is so silent. If we can just get a few people to see Jesus. Amen. When we come to church, it's to see Jesus. Amen. When we sing in the choir, it's to see Jesus. Amen. When we sit down in our pews, it's not to really fellowship. It's not to really communicate. It's to see Jesus. And when the church can't see Jesus, no wonder the sinners can't find Him. Glory! Let the church rise up. Let the church rise up. Man, we got to point souls to Christ. Have we lost our focus? Have we lost our vision? Has it become all about us? Consumed with Jesus filling our needs. There's not a night that passes that I don't pray for my family. And my church. And that's good. But Jesus reminded me, when's the last time you prayed for sinners? Now listen, I'm not trying to tell the church to be judgmental. Listen. You don't have to go and grab somebody by the neck and say, you a sinner! If somebody done you that way, you think you'd ever went to church? But Jesus went to his house. Jesus went to where he lives. 12 disciples said, we don't understand that. Why are you going home with him? He's a sinner. Certainly the Pharisees didn't understand that. What in the world is he doing going home with this sinner? He's an old publican. He's an old tax collector. He's done many, many people wrong. Why would Jesus take the time? I am so glad that Jesus didn't write me off. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, he's sorry. Can't nobody do nothing for him. I'm so glad that he said, I see it. And I want to have a relationship with Eddie. I want to be his Lord. I want to be his Savior. Thank God that he didn't forget me. Zacchaeus made an effort. He just made an effort. If you're lost today, you need to make an effort. You know, I was of the shy nature. I know you see me now and say, how in the world? Well, let me tell you something. When the anointing's done, I am too. I got nothing to say unless the anointing is speaking through me or using this flesh, this vessel. But I was so backward in church. We would get up and sing, but it was like that saying, we done now, leave us alone. Me, my brother, and my cousin had a little singing trio, and once we done it, we sat down. Don't leave, just don't bug us no more. Go ahead with your service. But somehow I wanted to get saved and get rid of that fear and anxiety and frightfulness that when I close my eyes at night, I might never, ever
see daylight again. And I'd heard preachers preaching, man, that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. But being shy of nature, I just wanted Jesus just to come back to my pew. Whisper in my ear without anybody else knowing it. And save my soul. And I didn't want to shout. I certainly didn't want to run like I'd seen some of them people run. I just wanted it to happen. But I sat for years and never put forth an effort. Jesus didn't come back there, put his arm around me. He could, but he didn't. Because my heart wasn't right. Heart wasn't right. It wasn't right because I didn't want to do any sacrifice. I didn't want to put forth any effort. But Zacchaeus said, I need to see Jesus. And they had a little cute little song. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And that was cute. In our Sunday school, you know. But I never fully comprehended the story behind the desire that he had to put forth an effort just to see Jesus. I often tell folks, when they're struggling in the altar and they just can't seem to pray through, I said, forget about who's praying with you. Forget about who's around you. And I want you to see Jesus. I want you to mentally get a picture of Him hanging on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to see that blood that flows down. That blood is to save you from your sins. That blood is to redeem us. Glory to God. That blood is to set us free. Amen. Have I killed the battery?
Doing great.
Still says green, that means go. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap praise. But Zacchaeus said, I got to see him. It's not enough just to hear about him. Come on. Amen. It's not just enough to know that somebody else saw him. I need to see him. Boy, when we get that determination, oh, God is ready. He's like Delta. He's ready when you are. Glory to God. When you get ready, amen, to see Jesus and to know that He is the Son of God and to know that He is the mediator, the petition, amen, the one that died on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved, and also send back the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Don't let the Holy Ghost scare you. The Holy Ghost will set you free. The Holy Ghost will give you power. The Holy Ghost will signify you are a child of God. So he found a sycamore tree. Somebody said, what's so significant about a sycamore tree? Nothing, except it was taller than he was. Come on, sometimes we need to get up. Somebody said, singer said, I got friends in low places. I got friends in high places. My friend, what a friend we have in Jesus. So Zacchaeus went and he found the sycamore tree and he climbed up at the sycamore tree. And all he wanted to do was just see Jesus. And Jesus had a press around him. Multitude of folks. And you know what it is with a multitude of folks talking and just being around him. And He makes a detour. Jesus made a detour one night in Rockmore, Georgia. I decided it was time to put my shyness behind me. Troubles and trials and guilt and all of those other things that associate a lost person's life had mounted up and it was choking me out. But that night in Rockmore, Georgia, a little old bitty church about half the size of this, Jesus made a detour. He still didn't come and whisper in my ear, but He grabbed hold of my heart. If you've never had conviction, you think you're having a heart attack. He'll grab hold of that heart. He'll convict your lifestyle. Say, if you are headed in the wrong direction, I am here to give you newness of life. I am here, amen, to bring you to an altar of repentance. Now, I'm not telling you, you have to be at this altar to repent. But let me tell you something. If you can be broken enough, if you can have such a desire to see Jesus, such a desire to have Him change your lifestyle, you want to get up out of your pew. You want to go down because you don't care who sees you. You don't care what anybody says. It's not about them. It's all about you and Jesus right now. I got up out of my seat and I don't know if I ran, but I got down to the altar in a hurry. And I'd been to the altar before, but never in the sincerity that I was that night. And thank God for a little while, Jesus filled me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I didn't even know what I was saying. Hallelujah. But I wasn't talking to the preacher. I wasn't talking to mom and dad. I was talking to Jesus. Hallelujah. I was thanking Him for saving my soul, for making me whole. Zacchaeus made an effort to see Jesus. And Jesus walked by and He looked up in the tree. And He said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I must abide in your house. I must abide in your house. Glory to God. Has Jesus been knocking on your door? I must abide in your house. You see all this turmoil that's going on? You need me now more than ever. You can't make it on your own. You can't make it with your name on some church roll book. You can't make it just shaking the preacher's hand. A lot of churches have tried to make it so convenient. Let me tell you, church didn't give you salvation. Jesus did. Jesus made it possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the crowd began to murmur. What's He doing? What's He doing? When's the last time, and I have to say, oh me, that our prayer to the Lord has been consumed with people that we're not sure if they're ready to meet the Lord? There is a division in the nation today. Probably one greater than I've ever seen in my lifetime. And it's easy to condemn. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to say, what's wrong? But church, have we prayed? I know we prayed for us. But have we prayed for the lost? Have we prayed for the lost? Is the only lost person you're praying for is a member of your family? Encourage you to keep doing so, but right now, in the city of Villarica, there's some miserable souls. Miserable. They don't even know what the answer is. And we come into our church and worship and praise the Lord like there's not a worry or care anywhere. And that's faith and that's good. But let us not forget Jesus said in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Is there a Zacchaeus where you work? Is there a Zacchaeus where you shop? What do you mean, Brother Eddie? Is there somebody that you've just washed your hands of and say, "Oh, they'll never change. There's no hope for them." Let me tell you something. We should never make that statement. Jesus gave us all hope. Is there a Zacchaeus in your life? In your household? In your family? One that you think there's absolutely no hope. I've tried. I've done this. Have you prayed and put them on the altar? My grandmother said all along, I never really understood. I thought she meant when she dedicated them, she took them babies and laid them on the altar. But that's not what she's talking about. She prayed every night, "I lay my sons and daughters on the altar." Not this structure here, but she was taking advantage of that veil that was rent, torn from the top to the bottom. She was taking them boldly into the holiest of holies. And she said, "Lord, whatever you do, just spare their life, but save them whatever it takes." How we miss those prayer warriors. Those gray-haired saints that had most of their prayer for the lost. And I know we every once in a while we'll focus on the lost, but folks, it ought to be continually. The Lord is pricking my heart, church. We're blessed. I know where I'm going. You know where you're going. You're born again. Saved folks are in the church. But there's some that still have not accepted Jesus Christ. And they need Him in their life to make it. But He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want to close with this parables of Jesus that is found in Luke 15, beginning with verse number 4. Please keep your seat as I read. Jesus speaking here to the Pharisees, He said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Does that mean he doesn't like the 99? Absolutely not. He loves them, but he knows that you're safe and secure. "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Those of you who are saved now was once that lost sheep. Aren't you glad that Jesus left the confines of those that were saved and came into your house and brought you into the fold? Thank God. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Whew. That's a strong, strong message to the church. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" I believe he was referring to my wife. There's a check missing. You ever had a deer in the headlight? Look. And my mind is racing trying to think, what in the world did I do with that check? Did I get it? How many times have I told you? When you take a check out and write it down. Okay. "And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." And the wife says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote that check." Thank you, Lord. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You want the angels to sing again? Give your life to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You want to ring the bells of heaven? Bring a lost sheep into the fold. Find that lost piece that needs to be a part of the body of Christ. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus died for all. That kind of shoots down that excuse that I've been too bad. No, the only too bad is if you never accept Jesus. There's not a one of us that's been too bad. Because that's the reason Jesus died on the cross for us. Because we were too bad. Because we could never make heaven our home on our own merits. On our own goodness, on our own church membership. But church, I humbly ask you, I seriously ask you, to please be mindful of folks that are around you that are hurting. People that are maybe snapping at you because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And instead of snapping back at them, we ought to pray for them. Amen. We ought to ask the Lord to come into their life to change their heart. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that. Has the church forgotten the sinner? Thank God they didn't forget me. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God, every church person here praying right now. Praying for the lost. Is there one in this congregation who is not certain, not sure that you have been born again? Not sure that you really have a relationship. Not to just know who Jesus is, but to know Him personally, intimately, and invite Him in as Lord and Savior. Please don't be embarrassed. Please don't be like I was. Don't wait for Jesus to snatch you up. Come down. Make an effort. Give your life to Jesus. While the Spirit of God is moving in this house today, almost as a thick cloud of conviction, of power to save us from the wiles of Satan, from the turbulence of this world, to give you peace and joy that no one else could ever give you. Is there one? While every head is bowed, please, no eyes opened. Is there one that would come down? While no one is looking but the pastor, if you need a touch from the Lord, would you just simply raise your hand? I promise I will not come back after you. I will not bug you. I'll not bother you in any way. But I will pray for you. God bless you. My desire is to see each and every one of you and your family in heaven. May God bless you.
That's right. Satan is the adversary. Amen. Certainly. Amen. We don't. Amen. We all need that sincere desire to reach the lost at any cost. That's a saying that we used to have at the Little Rock Mark Church. Win the lost at any cost. Amen. Sure.
Test. There we go. I just want a few minutes of your time. This is kind of, Sister Autumn was great with the time out on this because, you know, I got to follow up a little bit with what she was doing there. Listen to Brother Eddie's sermon, you know. This is something that's been on my mind for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 Sundays here. You know, we get Brother Eddie gets up and he preaches to us and he gives us a sermon that's just, it just makes us want to explode, you know. And he talks about reaching out, going out and touching people, and spreading the word. Just like Scripture just said a while ago, we're to come and go forward and seek the lost and save the lost. All right, are we really doing that? Be honest with ourselves. Are we really doing it? Are we really doing it? I think we're all guilty of not doing our share. That includes me, you know. And it bothers me. And it's bothered me so much lately that I've come up with something, and I want to put a challenge to the church. This is to the church, not to you or you, but to the church, all right? I come up with, and only got a few, all right? We can reach out to the lost. You know, with this epidemic that's going on, everybody's saying, well, you can't get close to them. You can't do this. But you know what? That's what the devil wants. He don't want us to contact them. He don't want us to be close to each other. Are we giving in to him? Yes. Yes. We can call it political. We can call it whatever we want. It's like Sister Alden Becker said, it's the devil taking control. He's taking control of the church. So, I put a little, my little thinking cap on. And what I've done, I've come up with some tracks here. And I want to give the church a challenge. And I put 5 tracks together. Now, unfortunately, only we got 33 sets here. All right? I want to give you a challenge. Can I get one of you young men to come up? How many of you would take the challenge and give out 5 tracks? Not, you don't have to do it all today. God bless you if you can. You don't have to do it all the day. But touch, reach out to someone. Because, you know, you don't have to get right up in their face and say, brother, God bless you. Let me watch your. We don't have to do that. It's just a matter of reaching. You can reach. All right? And there's a message in these tracks. I guarantee you will touch someone. Touch someone. I've got 150 total tracks here. If it touches one person, you know what? God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you in all kind of ways. All right? Now, here's the thing. We got our stamp on the back. It'd be great if somebody we can, that one we touch, walks into that front door next week. That'd be a blessing. But you know what? It doesn't matter if he comes in the First Pentecostal, First Baptist, as long as he sets foot in a church. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that lost. All right? So I'm going to have my brother here. I've got 33. How many of you want them? Raise your hands. There you go. Pass them out for me, brother. But we have to do like the Scripture says. We have to step forward. We have to reach out. They're not going to come to us. They're not going to come to us. So take the challenge. And I'm going to get more tracks. And you're probably going to see me do this again, all right? I mean, it's just that we have to do our share. You know, God's put us here for a purpose, folks. We all have a purpose in life. And I feel 2021 is going to be the year that we all find out what that purpose is going to be. You know, I think this is year we're going to find out. Because we're being put through the test. We're being put through the test. We can say, we can blame it all we want on party sides or this or that. No, sir, that's not it. We're putting through the test by one person only. That's Satan himself. All right? And now, while he's handing out, I want to mention one other thing real quick here, and then I'll leave you alone. Something that really bothered me here this past week. Again, I'm guilty of it. We all sit in church. Most of us are regulars. You ever look on each side of your pew there and see who's with you? If you miss them 2 weeks on a Sunday, you need to pick up the phone. Brother, where you at? Brother, sister, where you at? How you feeling today? We're sorry we missed you. Do you know what that means to someone that has missed church because of an illness or a personal problem? To let them know that someone cares. They're missed. They're missed. And I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty of that too, but I'm changing that. Because I know what it would be like to be in that bed or in that chair and can't move and somebody never calls. That's the loneliest feeling in the world. We don't need that. We don't need to put people through that. We're Christians. We're children of God. Let's bless them. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. All right? All right. We gave them out. Did you give them all out? All right. Look. Now listen. You can do one or two things with these tracks. You can follow the will of your heart, or you can follow the devil and throw them on the dash or the back seat and never touch them. All right? So, guess what? Where do you go? God bless you. Love you. Thank you, brother.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. What a powerful message we had this morning. Yes, ma'am.
I need a prayer call.
All righty.
Here has a response.